Hey, everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody. On this episode of The Charlie Kirk Show, my exciting and fun interview is Sarah Palin, former governor of Alaska. We find out, is she taking the vaccine? How should we deal with the left? And what does it mean to be a strong conservative woman in today's America? Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA or visit our Turning Point USA Student Action Summit, go to tpusa.com/SAS. That's tpusa.com/SAS. If you want to get engaged and involved with our Student Action Summit and be there in Tampa, Florida, I want to see you there. It's tpusa.com/SAS. Sarah Palin is here live from the Young Women's Leadership Summit brought to you by Turning Point USA. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Did you ever read the fine print that appears when you start browsing in incognito mode? It says that your activity might still be visible to your employer, your school, or your internet service provider. How can they even call it incognito? To really stop these people from visiting, from seeing the sites you visit, you need to do what I do and use ExpressVPN. Think about all the times you've used the Wi-Fi at a coffee shop, a hotel, or even at your parents' home. Without ExpressVPN, every single site you visit could be logged by the admin of that network. And that's still true when you're in incognito mode. What's more is your home internet provider, I'm talking about Comcast, AT&T, or whatever, can also see and record your browsing data. ExpressVPN is an application, it's an app, that encrypts all of your network data and reroutes it through a network of secure servers so your private online activity says just that, private. ExpressVPN works on all of your devices and it's super easy to use. So stop letting strangers invade your online privacy. Protect yourself at expressvpn.com/Charlie. Use my link at expressvpn.com/Charlie. That's expressvpn.com/Charlie to learn more. So, Governor, we're thrilled to have you here at the largest ever Young Conservative Women's Summit in the country.
Thank you, guys.
There's a lot we want to cover, but just start with your story. I mean, you've been in leadership of an entire state, and you have battled the mainstream media and won. You've seen and done a lot. What wisdom do you have to share for all these young conservative women leaders?
Well, you are going to have to battle mainstream media when you continue to be involved even more so. And man, gals, we need you even more so today more than ever. We need your voice out there. So as you speak, and just like doing anything worthwhile, it's not going to be easy. But as you speak and the media tries to clobber you and tell you to sit down and shut up, you have to remember, A, where the criticism's coming from. You know, consider the source. And we don't have to validate what the lamestream media says about us that is so negative because it's so untrue. And you have to remember, too, when it comes to that criticism, if you don't live by man's praise, you're not going to die by man's criticism. So we keep it in perspective.
So, Governor, what would your advice be to some of these young ladies that start a Turning Point USA group? They want to get involved on campus, and they are called all these awful things because they are a conservative. What are they supposed to do?
Grow thick skin. And I always say, this isn't fat. This is thicker and thicker skin all the time. You keep things in perspective. And when you know that you know that you know that you're standing for something right, you don't have to worry about those name calling and all that very useless, very, very critical rhetoric that is aimed at you. You really do have to get used to it, because, you know, but that's why this is beautiful, where you all, with a sense of camaraderie, you all can be empowered amongst each other and within, because you can look around and think, and say, you know, I'm not alone. Others around here with their straight spine standing up for what's right. We're in this together. So there is no need to be apprehensive or afraid or depressed about what's going on out there in the media. We all have each other. And I still say, Charlie, there are more of us than there are of them.
And as you can see, there's... this movement is growing and growing and growing. And so talk about courage, because a lot of people say, how do I find that courage? I know what should be done, but I need to get that next step. How, I mean, your whole life is one of courage, from being governor of Alaska to the entire activist press trying to destroy you and you coming out stronger on the other side of it. Talk about courage. How does somebody find courage to stand for what they believe in?
Well, it's amazing to me when I look back, because I am so old now. I have a lot to look back on. When I look back at the steps in my life that just, I think, inherently required courage, I think, wow, God had a hand in absolutely every step I took. And when I was a kid, I was smart enough at a summer camp, Evangelical Assemblies of God youth camp, looking around at the beauty of Alaska. And I'm like, wow, this is majestic. God, thank you for this creation. And if God is so smart to have created all this, surely if I put my life in his hands, surely he can create something, if not great, at least hopefully usable. So putting my life in God's hands, I look back now and I say, that's why that happened. That's why I ended up there. That's why I said, screw you, establishment. I'm going to run anyway for X, Y, or Z position. And I can see how courage has been built.
So finding that voice and trusting God, you know, with your life and your path was instrumental for you. Talk about building a family, because there's so many of these women's summits, and we talked about this earlier, that are more kind of on the liberal side. And they tell young women, you have to go become an activist. You have to become an environmental activist. You have to go become a fossil fuel, anti-fossil fuel activist. You have to become a Me Too activist, and that all men are terrible and the patriarchy is there to smash you. And you should then, at the only thing you might want to do is go work for a massive corporation. You have an amazing family. Talk about that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, nothing is more important, and nothing is more valuable to me, or I believe to the majority, is family. You know, faith, family, freedom. The foundation of a good culture, good society is family. It's just bedrock. So, yeah, I'm so thankful for my family, and I would and could do nothing without them. But isn't it funny that the liberals would try to make young women feel that they're not capable of doing anything, perhaps, but being in a large corporation or being an activist for X, Y, or Z, and not be able to also have a family and even carry a baby to term. All these things that the left wants to make young women believe is that, you know, you have to pick one or the other, and certainly the lesser of choices out there would be just being a mom, being a wife. I want young women to believe, to know that you are capable of really doing it all, pursuing your education, having a career, dedicating your life, your all your priorities, first and foremost, into your family, and not listening to the left that it's this fake feminism. You know, they're trying to make women feel lesser than, whereas why can't they see we're doing the complete opposite? We're saying, you girls, you're more than, and you can do all. It sounds cliche, but you can do all that you put your mind to. You don't have to listen to those who are going to try to make you feel smaller, victimized, those who have to look to big brother government to take care of you. It's they're preaching the antithesis of what a feminist should be.
And they're not even able to say what women are. So therefore, I want to say this is the largest ever convention of birthing people in the history of the country. Can you talk about that, Governor? What is a woman and what is a man?
Oh, wow. And I'm just such a simple girl. And here, if I get it, then, yeah, you know, DNA doesn't lie. So, yeah. And, you know, growing up, my dad's a teacher, a coach, growing up enmeshed in sports, when it comes to transgender or when it comes to boys wanting to compete against girls, which is what their DNA proves, the whole transgender competition issue that's going on right now, I hope that you who are young and perhaps still involved in sports, extracurricular or collegiate even, I hope that you are the ones who stand up and say how unfair it is and putting pressure on the boys who want to compete against the girls. Back in my day, boys didn't want to compete against girls. We'd be looking at me, you sissy? No. Try to compete against your own gender.
Well, and these are narcissistic, sociopath, deeply mentally disturbed men that want to compete against women.
Yeah,
truly. No, if you're a man that wants to compete against a woman, there's something very wrong with you.
Yeah. It's unnatural.
No, you're right. It's unnatural. And I think that these universities have a tendency to overthink these things. We talked about this earlier. You really don't have to go that deep. I'm happy to, and I've done these debates against these people, to go into the 900-page treatise of chromosomal structure and biology. It's really simple. It's men and women, chromosomal differences. You can see the differences, and they need each other.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's the way God made it. What do we do in trying to, you know, challenge that and change that, you know, the I think it's the system that he set up, and it worked for a long time.
And it seems that the other side is trying to wage a war on that. Are you saving for retirement or just treading water? Are you depending solely on stocks or mutuals instead of diversifying what you really need? Did you know it's easy to move out of a 401k into precious metals like gold that's predicted to go up $2,500 an ounce soon? Inflation is here, and this could be an answer for you. So call the team at Noble Gold. Do it this month, and they'll give you a gift of a 22-karat American Eagle coin. Just mention the promo code Kirk. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. So let's talk about current events, because we want to get as timely as possible. You said nothing's off limits, and so there's no right or wrong answer to this question. And if someone's going to cheer, and then someone's going to feel isolated, we're just going to say what our own opinion is on this, and we're going to try to be as delicate as possible. But it needs to be talked about. Governor, are you getting the vaccine?
No, thank you. A group of strong, independent, hardworking, smart women. Thank you. Wow.
So, again, I know a lot of my family members have gotten it. I know people that have gotten it. You just make your own decision, find your own information. I'm not getting the vaccine. I've made that very public. And so, Governor, talk about why you made that decision, and then walk us through, in addition to that, what is a young woman supposed to do here if they're threatened to lose their job, not go to school, if they don't get the vaccine? Help us through that.
Yeah. Well, first I decided, no, I'll be generous and I'll donate my vaccine to some politician who's experimenting with it. And if that horrible politician dies, well, then we're all better off anyway. So, well, I said a horrible, horrible politician. But no, okay, here. This is what you all need to keep in mind. If it comes to a point of government telling us, not even private sector, not even owners of a business, but government telling you that you will not be able to fly somewhere, you will not be able, say, to go on a college campus and speak unless you're vaccinated. Charlie and I had talked about this, and he's brilliant on this. We have to preempt that. And that's another reason that this gathering is so doggone important. And thank you for putting it together. Thank you for all that you do, Charlie. It's amazing. Herding cats. But that's what we need to talk about, is how we're going to preempt any of those kind of unconstitutional mandates, those mandates that would take away our power, infringe on our very, very basic rights. We can't get to that point, girls. We can't get to that point. If we get to that point, I think tangibly where we're going to be able to see the greatest erosion of our charters of liberty, of our foundation of freedom. I think so much of it has to do with the mandate that perhaps they're going to try to throw on our heads. So much of it has to do with the vaccine.
And I grew up with four words, Governor, that the left always would scream at me when I'd go to these campuses: my body, my choice. And now they're saying, get the vaccine, racist. And I'm like, what? And so, and again, everyone comes to their own decision. First, here's the way my calculus. First of all, I'm young. I'll take my chances with hydroxychloroquine, vitamin D, a little bit of walking outside, good diet. And secondly, just a reasonable thing. These people have lied about everything over the last year. Everything.
Yes.
From the lockdowns to the actual infectious rate to the death rate. Dr. Fauci was lying about it early and often. And now we're just supposed to say, you know what? Now we should just trust the pharmaceutical companies. And they never lie, by the way. Yep. They are perfectly ethical. They are the most honest people we've ever dealt with. They never seek profit to try to exploit you or try to medicate you unnecessarily. I love Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, and Moderna, and you should too. And
no matter what.
And of course we should worship them. And Governor, don't you remember the left? They used to challenge these companies.
Yeah, remember that? That, you know, they were the ones up against the man. You know, they were raging against the machine. And now they're all sucked in and they are the machine. So it's our turn to rage against the machine that needs to be shut down, because the machine is going to try to take away your freedom. Now, another reason I'm not getting that shot is I have that natural immunity. Thank you, Jesus. I had COVID. So this is proof of another lie that you have been fed. Remember early on, we were told, well, maybe it's not so bad if a lot of people get COVID because herd immunity, right? Okay, so that's cool. Because once you get it, man, you're naturally immune. And then they changed their tune once those of us who said, I'm naturally immune, you said so.
And if you even talk about this on social media or radio, which I talk about it quite often, they come after you completely. For example, you're not allowed to say that 53% of Center for Disease Control employees have got the vaccine, and about 47%, according to Dr. Fauci's own testimony, have not. And we don't know if they've denied it, but that's a low vaccination rate for the Center for Disease Control. Do they know something that we don't? Does the NIH know something that we don't? Eric Clapton got the vaccine, and he was afraid he was never able to play the guitar again because he had such an adverse effect. According to VAERS' own website, again, the media hates when I mention this, so I have to be so specific when I say this. According to their website, 4,000 people have died since getting the vaccine. That's what it says on their website. That's interesting. 9 Yankees players have gotten the got the virus after they got the vaccine. And the first man who got the vaccine in Britain, 81 years old, his name is literally William Shakespeare.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, we're going to, they had this whole press event. We're going to give him the vaccine. He unfortunately passed away a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Right.
And we should have some form of discussion about it. But Governor, are they trying to intimidate us into this?
Well, of course they're trying. Ugh, Fauci. Stand against Fauciism. Yeah.
Come on, Governor. What are you talking about?
Yeah. It's Fauciism. I think, it's kind of prophetic, even the whole symbolism of shut your mouth. You're going to be masked. You're not going to be seen. You're not going to be heard. That's why I say, oh, I want to just rip off that mask. And we have to be smart enough to pick our battles too. I knew through all of it, I wasn't going to be a stinker. I wasn't going to get on a flight and rip the mask off and say, oh, I'm standing up for me. No, you pick your battles in order to be effective. Wearing the mask when I had to, looking at, a private sector, a store owner telling me, then it's your business. So you don't have to serve me. That's right. You know, if we're going to be preaching free enterprise as capitalists, then, more power to a shop owner for saying, I don't want you in here unless you're wearing a mask. Okay, I understand that. But when it comes to government trying to tell us what to do, you know what the federal government was set up to do? It was to protect our rights, not to chip away at anything. And all these issues, even the issue of abortion, and I'm 100% pro-life, even these issues of abortion, that the federal government, these faceless bureaucrats and politicians in far-off, bubbly Washington, D.C., they trying to dictate the way that we raise our families, the way that we run our businesses. This is coming from the federal government. We've let it get out of hand. Those type of issues, even an issue, I say, of abortion, it needs to be ratcheted down, state level, more local level. Levels of government that are actually accountable, because thus far the federal government is so out of control, obviously there isn't accountability.
And so, Governor, what is a young woman supposed to do if they're saying, you got to get vaccinated by August 10th or else you can't go back to college? You got to get vaccinated or else you can't have a job. That's the number one question that we get right now. My advice, and I don't want to say advice, I'll just say my own piece, is that for me, I wouldn't do it. I'd find a new school, I'd work remotely, whatever it is. That's my own personal prerogative. But what are they supposed to do, Governor?
Wow. And that is a great question. And that's why a gathering like this is so important, so that we can be empowered and know that there are a lot of us. We do have to unify over this issue. And we have to protest it so it doesn't get to that point. The decision makers, the quote unquote leaders who are probably going to tell us that, they need to be told, we're not going to take it this time. Enough is enough. And we're not going to just sit back. You know, we did sit back when all this was rolled out, right? I was kind of shocked that, oh, wow, we're a bunch of sheeple, just, you know, a couple government bureaucrats telling us that we're going to not be able to go to church, or, you know, because the rules were so inconsistent. I could have gone there with some of it had they been consistent and scientifically based, but because they've been so inconsistent, from the rollout on, there hasn't been confidence in our government leaders with this issue. They're not any smarter than anybody else, obviously, based on the decisions that they have made that have adversely affected us, decisions that haven't been based on science. They need to be reminded of that. They're reminded of that by us standing up, protesting what it is that they want to do, unifying around the issue. And like I say, saying literally enough is enough. We're not going to go there with this one.
And I totally agree. And if those of you that are struggling with it, you have to find some point of leverage. And you might not have a lot of leverage, by the way. You might just be an entry-level worker and you're like, I'm totally at their mercy. Then you don't have leverage. But you at a university have more leverage than you might think. You go to a state school, find a state legislator if you live in a Republican state. If you go to a private school, go find the big donors and contact them. For example, anyone Catholic in here? God bless you guys. Every Catholic in the country should contact University of Notre Dame and say, why are you requiring mandatory vaccines for every student to go back to University of Notre Dame? Why is that happening? So let me if you are a Catholic, you should contact the University of Notre Dame and say, how dare you do this? I will never give you another dime. I will never speak favorably about you. And now, I think that you're in violation of exactly what the Catholic Church stands for. That is what needs to happen. And you might not have any leverage, but I tell you right now, most of you in these situations have a lot more leverage than you might think. For every one of you that's anxious about mandatory vaccinations, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of other students that share that alongside of you, and speaking out can make that difference.
That's right. And I know that it isn't an easy issue. And Charlie and I both know, yeah, it's not easy if you feel alone standing up against, you know, the bureaucracy, standing up against the man and saying, no, that you're not going to take it. I know personally it's tough. My youngest, Trig, in fact, she had a sign for Trig and it just about made me cry. My son Trig, who has special needs, he was born with an extra chromosome. He has Down syndrome. My kid has more chromosomes than any of you. So we won. So Trig, though, going to a wonderful public school that thankfully our district does put resources into, some therapy, some things that a child with special needs needs. I don't want to have to take him out of that school, but you're right. We do all have to have that line, you know, that, no, I would take him out of school. If a continuation adversely affects him, his learning, if it impacts you know, that chipping away of our freedoms, I would have to, you know, make that sacrifice, and we would have to find somewhere else to go.
You may have heard that I'm recently married. Every married man knows that while it's the greatest gift, it's also a big change. I'm joyfully adjusting all the habits I formed as a single man, all the way down to my sleep schedule. One part of this married man's routine will remain exactly the same. You want to know what it is? Every night before going to bed, I still take 2 capsules of Magnesium Breakthrough by Bi Optimizers. Don't get me wrong, I'm not taking any old generic synthetic magnesium pills. I only take Magnesium Breakthrough. Why? Well, simply put, there are 7 unique forms of magnesium. By leveraging all 7 forms in each capsule, I'm able to experience magnesium's deep, restorative sleep benefits. If you're having trouble falling asleep or staying asleep, try magnesium in your nightly regimen and be amazed by how much healthier your sleep patterns become. For an exclusive offer to the Charlie Kirk Show listeners, go to magbreakthrough.com. That's magbreakthrough.com/Kirk. And then use the promo code Kirk10 during checkout to save 10%. Or Google Magnesium Breakthrough, and Bi Optimizer should be your first search result. Don't forget Kirk10 to save on your order, or use the link in the description or pinned comment to get your discount. I just find it to be so... It's so creepy the way that they're pushing this thing. And again, I just generally don't trust anyone in that entire community. And they won't answer any questions about this. We've tried to have these people on our show. Like, hey, can someone from the NIH come on our show and answer these questions? Like, no, shut up, racist. Like, okay, whatever. And so it's like, no, like, I actually want you to tell our audience and explain these things. Explain what an emergency youth authorization is. Explain why there had to be some suspensions of the administration of it. And we just never get any clear answers on that. And so, Governor, let's talk about some other current events. The border is wide open. We're seeing a lot of problems related to that. China seems to continue to strengthen and influence. There's attacks on our Second Amendment rights. We need to fix the way we do elections in our country to make sure we have fair and transparent elections in the future. If you had to name 1 or 2 of the most important things in front of us, what do you think are the things we have to focus on? Because their strategies to try to distract us amongst many different problems.
Oh, right. I mean, it's one thing after another that they are using as distractions. There are a couple issues, though, that we really need to keep tabs on. One is school choice. That's going to be a big issue coming up. That's fundamental. Any atrophying of our Bill of Rights, though, anything that they are doing, like Second Amendment rights, our freedom of speech, our freedom of speech, because once that is gone, you know what the aim is when they don't want you to talk about something? What that leads to is they don't want you to think about something so that you won't be tempted to talk about something. And history shows, you know, through some time-tested truths, what tyrants are able to do to the masses as they chip away, take away that freedom of speech. It's thought control, because they do want to control what you're thinking so you will not speak it. So you have to look at each one of these issues. What's the end goal of them? As they take away more and more of our freedoms, what is it that they actually want? And when you go there, it should make you rise up and say, no, this is America. Our country is based on freedom. We dedicated this land to God, our founding fathers. We have been blessed because of that. We have made a covenant with the people for generations that we would be a free country, where that beacon of hope for any other country, any other person around the globe would be able to look at America and say, oh, that is the land of the free. Let us strive to be that, to do that. Now, if that is taken away, there is no other place on earth. There is nowhere to go. We cannot let that happen. So each one of these issues chipping away at that right, at that right, at that freedom, at that freedom. Once that snowballs, then it is gone. So you girls need to get ready to start running for office, school board, city council, borough and county offices, state governments. We need you in there. And don't think that you're too young. Don't think you're not qualified. I started very young. I was in PTO, PTA, then ran for city council. Then I was a city manager, mayor, oil and gas commissioner. See, I have to give my resume because people always think, oh, you're just a hockey mom from Wasilla, governor, and then VP candidate and doing these other things. And if you start foundationally at that level of local level, you learn what public service is all about. You are so accountable. You go to the grocery store and someone's going to bug you about the dog that's barking at 4 o'clock in the morning in their neighborhood, and you're the mayor, so you better go fix the problem. You are accountable from budgets, where you're spending your grandma who lives in your town, where you're spending her tax dollars. You have a public servant's heart or you're not going to do well on the local level. I wish our politicians who are in that upper echelon, I wish they all would have started on the local level so that they could understand what public service is, literally.
And reclaiming that idea of citizen government. And so in closing, Governor, there's so many young women here, and you touched on this a little bit, that want to know what they can do and how they can do it. Just share some more wisdom that you have about some of the difficulties they're going to face. Yeah. There's going to be times when they want to give up. How do they keep going?
Yeah. Again, you have to know that you can look around and notice and see it, strengthening one another. We're not alone in this. And I would encourage you, in a practical sense, to be ready to run for office and to help others get elected who share these priorities, who share the ideology, who share just a basic common sense constitutional conservatism that runs through their veins. Stay loyal to them, because what I find in the business of media and politics, I have a journalism degree. I started out in sports casting and worked in the news. Media and politics, loyalty is like a non-existent virtue. So when you find people whom you can support, stick with them through thick and thin. Stick with them when you see them getting clobbered by the mainstream media, lamestream media. Stand up for them. Help them out. We have to do this as a team. We don't believe they're wacko. They are so wacko, and they're getting worse and worse. But they're good at sticking together, at least. And that's why they've been able to just boulder through some of these issues, because we've been too splintered.
Well, and I agree. And I say this to a lot of conservative audiences that we have. There's all this like drama at times on Twitter of like conservatives going after each other. It drives me nuts. I mean, there's so few of us that are actually in the courage, like trying to be courageous and in that space. And you guys are part of it. And even if you disagree with someone, there's this thing called direct messaging. You could do it privately. You don't have to put it publicly.
Totally.
Oh, I'm going to go tell the world why I'm right. It drives me nuts. And so, Governor, I truly believe that culturally we are going to win when people start rising up, and most specifically when women start to rise up. Closing. Tell us the role of conservative women broadly and generally and what that means for America.
Oh, my goodness. It's time for conservative women, young women, to have their voice heard, to be able to let your priorities be known. Because what you're standing for, gals, what you're standing for is right. Time-tested truths that prove foundationally what you believe in is right. We can't go wrong with what we believe in, what the message is, because it is right. It's just a matter of us really being able to get out there. You see all the press that like AOC gets, you know, she just walks on water, according to, you know, all the press. It's because she's loud. Well, you know, a lot of women have been taught not to be loud, to sit back and be pretty and be polite, and you know that that's passé. We can't afford to do that anymore. We need to be the ones bold, courageous, loud, louder than they are.
Well, Governor, I know I speak on behalf of all these amazing young women from across the country. Thank you for being such a good role model. And we didn't touch on this, but you're a hunter, so no matter what you say or do, you're high in my book, because you actually are in nature and you understand the beauty of it, and you talk about it, so thank you for that. And you have a large family, and you're such a good role model, and I hope every single one of you, young conservative women, and this is our nation together, will look to the governor as a role model, as someone who has just, they did everything they could. A lot of you weren't really able to see back. This was 2008, right, Governor? The summer of 2008, you gave the most amazing speech in Minneapolis at the Republican National Convention, probably one of the most amazing, everyone should go look it up. And you have refused to apologize to these maniacs. You have never backed down to them. You have stayed true to who you are. When other people, not going to say other names, who are also at that convention, have always tried to sue for peace, and you have always held the line, and you deserve to be thanked for that, Governor, because you are a hero in my book. So thank you so much. So thank you guys.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support us, go to charliekirk.com/support. And if you want to get behind Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. I hope to see you in Tampa at tpusa.com/SAS. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.